You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, good Wednesday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek in Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Norman, Oklahoma. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse for Wednesday, February 12th, episode 3625, brought to you today by Poseidon Animal Health and Stateline Tech.
Hello, horse world. It's Wednesday, the day you start daydreaming of a weekend with your horses. We'll help you get there with more silly horse talk on Horses in the Morning.
Well, that's right. We do have a fun show planned for you this Wednesday. We have Dr. Chris Smith of Foxhall Equine. He's going to join us to talk about standing surgeries for kissing spine. I know kissing spine is something you deal with a lot with your horses coming in.
Yes.
We have had some auditors post about that recently, too. Melissa Kitchens is going to join us from A Home for Every Horse, talking about our Rescue Horse of the Month that we're going to be doing this year. And today's Rescue Horse of the Month is a Friesian. We don't see that too often at rescues. So we're going to talk about Kaya. And we are also going to be doing some weird news. And then in our auditor highlight in our post show, we have Taylor joining us. Taylor's the one we've been talking a lot about who had all the health issues recently. And we're going to get caught up and find out how she is doing. But I know how there's one dog that's doing this morning, and that is the giant schnauzer who won the Westminster Dog Show. I didn't even know there was such a thing as a giant schnauzer. I knew there were like other schnauzers, but I didn't know there was a giant schnauzer.
They come in every size. Every dog comes in every size because they figured out how to like breed with Shetland ponies and draft horses.
Well, everybody that's listened to the show for a long time knows that miniature schnauzers are not my favorite dogs. You can write to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com because she agrees with me. My parents had those and they were the barkiest damn dogs. So this one does not look anything like that. So I'm okay with this one winning. This was 149 years. This is the second longest sporting event in the United States. Do you want to call it a sporting event? Do we call it a sporting event?
You know, I got a little hooked on watching it yesterday until our, and Anna was like, Anna's never seen a dog show.
Really?
So she's like, what are they doing? Why are they walking them? Why are they grabbing their ball? What is going, like, I was like, you've never seen a dog show. She'd never seen it. So we watched the entire retriever group until my TV kind of crashed. And so I was just Googling which retriever won because I got to tell Anna because we were like totally in on it. And apparently the golden retriever won.
Oh,
okay. Now I know. I'm okay now. Now I can breathe.
There were 2,500 dogs from 200 breeds. They're like the horse world with breed thing. You know, we just keep inventing
I just, I just like watching like the dog. First of all, learning about all sorts of new breeds. They're not new. It's just breeds you don't know about. I find the dog shows fascinating. Plus, after watching the TV show, the movie Best in Show, there's nothing that entertains me more than watching dog shows and quoting. Like my husband and I, we just quote Best in Show like constantly during dog shows. So we love it. Have you seen Best in Show?
Yes, a long time ago, though.
Yeah, well, it's one of the ones we put together. I think I know what Anna's going to watch today because it didn't go to school because of the darn ice storm outside.
Yeah, the whole country is in the middle of the country is getting whacked with that. Hey, I did see the top five breeds that have won the Westminster Dog Show the most number of times over the 149 years. Do you care to guess who's going to be number one? Jennifer could not get this at all. I wouldn't have gotten it either.
Oh, I was going to guess poodle. So if
poodle's
she didn't get
number
it.
Four, tied with number four, the standard poodle, not the little one, the big one.
Okay. Yeah, because there's so much grooming that goes in. I don't know. Let's see. What other dog could have won? Not a golden retriever.
Because they were like, oh, that though, too.
Well, then that was wrong. Then I don't know. With tied poodle, we've got bulldogs. No.
Nope.
Nothing.
So tied in number four was the Pekingese and the standard poodle. So there you go. I didn't expect to see Pekingese pop in there. Number three was the English Springer Spaniel.
Okay.
Has won six times. Number two, the Scottish Terrier has won eight times. And number one, the Wire Fox Terrier has won more than any other breed with 15 Best in Shows.
I think that's the one that won Best in Show, the actual movie, too. So, I mean, perfect.
Go. There you go. I would not have guessed.
Way to go, Winky.
I would not have guessed those, for sure. The Terriers seem to do very well at those shows, though. They always have. All right, let's do some Daily Winnies. Hey, one happy birthday, and that's to one of our hosts here on the network of Heels Down Happy Hour, Justine Brooke. Happy birthday to you, Justine. Also, I have a note for the auditors. It came to my attention last night when people started PMing me and whining about their posts being taken down in the auditor room. Apparently, I don't know why, over the last week, Facebook has marked about 30 posts as spam. They were just ordinary posts about horse stuff, and they were marked as spam. And I didn't even, you're in that room. I have never looked at the spam folder. I didn't even really know we had one. So I looked in there, and there are all these posts. So we did not decline your post. It was not removed by us because we hate you. That was a Facebook thing. And I put up some of the most recent ones. I could not put 30 posts up at once. That would have flooded the room. So if you did and want to repost, go ahead. Some of it was old now because it, you know, we're beyond what they were talking about. But that was not us. So auditors, apologize for that. I will keep an eye on the spam folder a little more often now that I know that that's happening. And
there is one.
there is one.
Well, if y'all listened to last week's show, you know that I, along with my child, have been working very hard to get our hunting license so we can participate in the state tournament in Oklahoma for archery. And I would like to
You're
say...
You're not shooting deer. Let's clarify that. They are shooting targets.
No. You literally, to get... It's like you have to stand in a gymnasium and shoot a bow 15 yards. I mean, and for some reason, now... You have to get your hunting certification education done. I now know more about tree stands than I ever cared to know. And yes, I can teach you how to pass your gun across the fence and tuck and roll under barbed wire. Why do I know that? Because I didn't do the stupid hunting thing. So, and it's 10 hours that they take it. And if you mess up, you have to start the whole thing over. No. If you don't get 80% on the test, it is unbelievably extensive.
I'm glad they're that strict for the actual hunters.
Yeah, it took a long, long time. And then the numbers, well, I couldn't get the numbers right. No, so I'm like on the phone with the NRA in Washington, D.C. It was the most insane bananas experience. Like,
so your son could shoot archery.
In a gymnasium. Yeah. And I would like to tell you that, yes, we passed the test. We got everything done. And archery tournament today canceled because of the ice. What? Oh my God. Are you kidding me?
Was there anything about hunting on ice in your education?
Well, there was a whole survival section, Glenn, on how to survive out in the wild. And
I don't recommend canned tuna right now. Apparently there's a large recall on canned tuna. So maybe not bring that along for your survival on the ice.
Okay, well, I'll write that down. So, yeah, we had that, and then it canceled. And then the next thing is, I talked about it in the post show on Monday, but my husband and I are just looking for a piece of property as an, you know, quote unquote investment, but something we can hang out on the weekends, something fully fenced, but like a giant piece of property that we can take the kid out and camp, and I can take the horses and they can fish. So something with a pond. And so we found this land yesterday and we walked around and hiked on it. And I took my shoulder brace off. Like, I'm so tired of wearing it. I hate it. I don't have to wear it unless I'm around other people. So then, you know, like, people know not to mess with you on that side of your body because you have this big giant shoulder brace thing post surgery. So I took it off. So there's part of this property is grass, and then part of it is woods, and it's like got a creek down in it, and it was so cool. And Chad's down there hiking. And he was like, come down here, come down here. And I'm like, I'm not hiking through there with one usable arm. And he was like, just come to the edge. And so, like, it drops down where there's a creek. So I kind of, like, walk in and I'm like, there's a lot of, like, like what vines and thorns and stuff in there. And so I'm going through with my big old tall eventing boots on, you know, and I get tangled, Glenn. My legs get tangled. And I
so you can't get yourself out.
Busted. I fell flat on my face. Like, not one of those, you know, when you fall off a horse, it's like slow motion and you can like feel yourself. It was not that. It was
just out.
Of course I did. Oh. So I would like all of you to know that I am not a big fan of pain pills. I am not a big fan of medication in general. I took some last night. So if I'm a little stupid today, it's because my brain is swimming. I had to take a muscle relaxer and a pain pill last night to go to sleep because I fell and just, you know, you put your arms out. And of course my arms don't work. So then I just, bam, face planted into leaves and mud. And so Chad comes up
Did you land on that side?
It hurts so bad. It hurts so bad. And fortunately with the ice, physical therapy was canceled today because I can't do that today. I am trying to just survive. So anyway, Chad comes up and he's like, why are you sitting there? And I'm like, I fell. And I've got like leaves in my hair. You know, like I'm some old lady and I took a spill. Oh my God. Yeah.
You
so
didn't buy that property,
the fun. It's perfect except for that one little part where I fell. And we walk around this property and you're going to love this because I don't know why I like this property so much. Either it is 40 acres of just utter perfection or when we got there, the neighbor's dog came out barking. Rawr, rawr, rawr. And I was like, hey, buddy, come here. It ran over to me. It started licking me like crazy. And we hiked around that property for 3 hours. And that dog stayed by my side the entire time. And I'm like, I woke up sad this morning that that's not my dog. And I think we're going to go look at the property again. And I'm going to go to their house and I'll be like, can I please have your dog? Do people just, I mean, it's a farm dog. It lives outside. And they didn't even notice it. Ran away for 3.5 hours and hiked with me. And then when we get back, I was like, and Chad's like, that's a cool dog. That's a cool dog. I'm like, I love this dog. I love this dog. And when we get back up to the car after hiking for 3 hours and it's my very best friend, I hear, Maggie! Get your ass back here.
One of the best of advice we ever got when looking at houses or property is go on a Friday night at about 7 to 8 o'clock and just and listen to the parties at the neighbors and see how loud they are.
Oh, there ain't no neighbors. No. Except for this one old guy that has this dog, Maggie.
Yeah,
who
we
kept
were always told,
away.
Go listen for the parties on a Friday or Saturday night. And we've turned down a couple places because the music was blaring so loud.
That is a great idea. Yeah. That is a great idea.
You never
idea.
Know what's happening at the neighbor's house. The
we just got new neighbors here, and they blast. I mean, here, you've seen my house. Yeah. We don't have neighbors close by. Well, one moved in at the very edge of the property on the other side, and they have like a bonfire every night and blast mariachi music. Like,
oh, there you go.
So loud.
You and Mary are the same boat right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, same thing. All right, let's get on with the show. Do you want your horse to perform at its best? Poseidon Animal Health has a veterinarian-recommended supplement to keep your equine friend feeling their best. If your horse is stressed by travel or competition, our stress pace can help them stay calm and focused. Jamie will be using those when they visit the new place. Worried about your horse's digestion? Digestive HP and the Gut Health Reset Pack can promote a healthy gut and keep your horse feeling their best. Poseidon Animal Health products are trusted worldwide by Olympic athletes. Give your horse the same champion treatment. Visit PoseidonAnimalHealth.com today. Well, coming up first, we have Melissa Kitchens, who I work with here at Equine Network, and she is with Home for Every Horse, and we're going to highlight once a month a different rescue around the country, and Home for Every Horse vets their rescues, so we know we can trust them, which is why we've never done this before, and we're going to highlight one particular horse every month, and today we have a fun one, so let's get Melissa on. Melissa, thanks for joining us again.
Absolutely. Nice to talk with you, Glenn and Jamie.
Can you remind everybody what Home for Every Horse is?
For sure. So, excuse me, a Home for Every Horse is a program, 501c3 program as part of the Equine Network Foundation, and we help to support the rescues across the country, whether it's helping them with feed or hay assistance or blankets or education, or, I mean, we've got all kinds of programs starting this year that are new. So our big goal is just to help those rescues and help find horses new homes.
And you're kind of picky about what rescues you take into. You make sure that they're actually legit.
We do. We have about 450 rescues in our program right now. There's 1,200, and I think I saw a number yesterday, 1,297 rescues in the country.
Really?
So the rescues we focus on, and I mean, anybody's welcome to apply, but we make sure their paperwork's in order. You know, they have a current 501c3, but also they're putting the best interest of the horse and donkey and mule and equine first and foremost. So we really take time to vet and research and make sure the rescues we're helping are doing good.
You know, that's the reason that we never did this over the years. And people would ask us why we don't highlight rescues. It's because we didn't have the time to make sure that they're not just hoarders, right? Mm-hmm. And there's so many, you know, out there that call themselves rescues who you know, are not great. So we...
Yeah, well, I mean, the perfect example is you go to look at a horse and they're like, oh, we rescued it. And I'd look around, I'm like, from what? Like, oh my God. If this is a rescue, I am going to lose my mind. So yeah, there's a whole lot of certifications now, and that's good that you guys are involved in that.
Yeah, and this year we just started with a member expectations statement where we have all the rescues sign it, where they... You know, they agree to uphold to certain standards. At any time we can, you know, they're transparent about their business. They're taking in, most of their animals are not coming from auction houses. First and foremost, they need to take in owner surrenders or law enforcement cases. If they have open space, yeah, go to an auction house and get one. But we're really trying to steer clear of raising money on the rescues that are raising money on Facebook and to getting horses out of the
kill pens and all that.
Auctions. Yeah. And so they can help the person before that horse even goes to an auction. You know, it's traumatic for a horse to be in an auction house. So if we can make sure they never get there to begin with, that's the best case scenario.
So we're going to highlight a different rescue every month, from what I understand, and a different horse every month. You know, Jamie's had pretty good luck finding homes, talking about the horses that she works with. And our listeners, I think, what, it's dozens have adopted horses now, thanks to Jamie's efforts. So which one are we talking about today?
Yeah, so today we're going to talk about Freedom and Whiskey Rescue. They're in Prince William County, Virginia, so just south of Washington, D.C. They started the rescue case like as we all do. A friend calls and says, hey, she had a rescue, and I'm going to save all these donkeys. So they donated some money, and they said, why don't you come see the donkeys that you helped? Well, that led to them meeting Rollo, who was a feral donkey who could care less about humans, really despised them. And they brought him home, and that started their rescue situation. I think that was in 2011. They just lost Rollo this year, so that's sad and hard. But he became like their sponsor or their mascot. Like, he became friendly and loved them. And so, you know, it's that led them down this path, and they only take in about 12 horses a year, but some of them are just horses that will never be able to be adopted. Maybe they have too many health issues or just going to be a companion. So they'll give them sanctuary and let them stay there through their lives. And when one leaves, then they bring in another one. So,
well, it's not often, Melissa, that we get a Friesian at a rescue, but that's what we're talking about today.
Yep. And her name is Kaya, and she's available to be adopted or sponsored. She's a really well-bred Friesian also. She came into the rescue after her owner passed away from a long battle of cancer. And that owner had a few different Friesians. Some were older and, you know, moved on. And then they had Kaya, who's 15, and Freedom and Risky has put a ton of time in on her for natural horsemanship training, dynamic dressage with an FEI dressage trainer. And she's 15. She's on the green side, but she's beautiful. And she's available at freedomandwhiskey.org.
You know what? In these pictures of Friesians, they always look enormous, like they're 17 and a half hands. This one's 15-1.
When you
look at the picture, I would have guessed 17 and a half hands.
Yeah.
But that's not – and I know right now I can hear her gears turning, because Jamie's always wanted to work with a Friesian, and now I can she's on the page right now. I can't see her, but I know exactly what she's doing. She's flipping through the video, she's watching, looking at all the pictures. Am I wrong?
Listen, whatever bridle you have on her is really beautiful. I mean, it's like a work of art. She's stunning. She's tall. She's gorgeous. Now, I see that they put a lot of training into her because she didn't have a whole lot of training. And Glenn, I'm not like I'm staring at her right now, but y'all put like 9 months of training into her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They put a lot of training into this one.
They did. And her adoption fee is higher. I think it's $8,500, but it's really just to cover that cost of the training. And they sent her out to trainers, to really, really good, respected trainers. So yeah, she's fantastic.
She is pretty, that's for sure. And you know, 15-1 is manageable. You know, that's also a thing because some of these half drafty breeds of warm bloods can get so big.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and at 15 years old, she's definitely full grown, so she should be ready to go.
I'm glad Jennifer didn't see this one before she bought hers.
Well, they've got a picture of her sire too. I mean, that's the cool thing about these. When you have them bred and they're registered, is you get to go look back at who the parents are and make sure that you're getting into the thing you're wanting. Now, I was curious because it talked about her being able to be a broodmare. So many times mm-hmm. these rescues won't adopt out horses to be broodmares. Is this something unique that they do, or is this something that they usually do?
Most often they do not. Most rescues do not. But since she's so well bred, they have that, you know, that option on there, because I mean, anybody who's going to breed her and knows that much about Frisians knows that her bloodlines are probably like once in a lifetime to get a hold of at this day and age. But, and their Freedom and Whiskey is really, I guess they really have tight like restrictions around adopting. They really want people to know what they're getting into, like go volunteer at our horse rescue if you've never had horses before, for a year before you come in there and fill out an application, and they'll always take them back. But they're pretty strict, as most rescues are, about the people that get them. So they know exactly what they're getting into and either have the experience or, you know, are associated with somebody that does.
Well, this is terrific. We'll put a link to this in our show notes. It is freedomandwhiskeyrescue.org, and we'll put a link directly to Kaya in there. So if you're looking for a Frisian, here you go. This is one ready for you. Thanks a bunch for joining us today. Melissa, we really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Great to talk with you guys.
All right. We'll talk another one next month. The State Line Tack HRN coupon is being extended. Get 30% off any $129 order. Enter coupon code HRN at checkout. Horse lovers, are you tired of galloping through your budget every time you need new tack or supplies? Well, then head on over to statelinetack.com, where you can earn rewards on every purchase. They have a new rewards program. You can enjoy the savings just for shopping for the things you love. You earn points for every dollar you spend on saddles, bridles, boots, well, pretty much everything over there. And you can do it. It's simple. All you have to do is create an account at statelinetack.com and you're automatically enrolled to the rewards program. Jamie, you must have 1,000 points by now. It's free.
Everything's free.
It's free. It's easy and the best way to keep your horse happy and your wallet even happier. Visit statelinetack.com today and start earning rewards. And don't forget to use HRN at checkout if your order is over $129 and you'll get 30% off. Now, please note, some products are not eligible for additional discounts due to manufacturer restrictions. These are noted in your shopping cart, so you'll know ahead of time.
This Horse Health Report is brought to you by Daily Dose Equine Non-GMO Core Nutrition for horses and ponies of all ages. And I would like to welcome to the show Dr. Chris Smith of Fox Hall Equine. Hi, Dr. Smith.
Hello. Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us. Tell everybody a little bit about Fox Hall Equine and where you guys are and what you do.
Sure. So Fox Hall Equine is kind of a combination between a veterinary hospital and a rehabilitation center. We're located in Falston, Maryland, which is about 20 minutes north of Towson, Maryland. We're probably 30 minutes north of Baltimore City, kind of nestled in the, you know, rolling hills of northern Maryland. And, you know, I think that, you know, there was always a kind of a need for, you know, more veterinarians, more specialized healthcare, especially in this area where a lot of the vets are getting older, a lot are retiring or moving to other ventures, other careers, or, you know, moving to Florida, seeking out the warmer weather. So this concept kind of birthed, you know, about 10 years ago. Took us 5 years to get everything built, get everything under roof. And we opened in the middle of COVID in October of 2020. And so in October of this year, we'll be celebrating our fifth year open and running.
Well, congratulations. I think that the rehab portion of it is very necessary, because especially when you have horses that go in for kissing spine surgery or colic surgery or anything like that, there is such a very strict protocol on getting these horses back to performance level to make these surgeries actually work. And that is kind of what you guys do. So what are some of the things you guys specialize in?
Yeah, so it's a great question. And more to your point, you know, I worked at the racetrack for about 7 years. And, you know, going from, you know, sports medicine injuries of all kinds to, you know, to also we had a list of farms that we took care of. And it was exactly your point. It was, I have an injured horse. The owners or trainers don't have a farm for that horse to go to. And it was, you know, looking at the veterinarians every day going, okay, doc, you just found X, Y, and Z. Now what do I do? And that was kind of another big thing that we saw on a daily basis, was that these sports medicine injuries were, you know, some were career ending, some were not. And a lot of these owners and trainers said, well, I can't care for him. I live in a home in a neighborhood on a cul-de-sac. So where do I take him? What do I do with him? And, you know, there's a lot of farms around that, you know, will say, yeah, bring him here. We'll bring him in. We'll turn him out, you know, basically on a boarding type situation, which for some of them is fine. But for a lot of these guys, they really need that extra care, that extra veterinary supervision. And the owners and trainers need that extra guidance as to what to do, especially when, you know, they don't necessarily want to just give the horse to the farm and say, okay, I'll be back in 6 months.
Yeah. So like, I remember we did a colic surgery on one of my horses years ago, and they were like, okay, you're going to need to feed him a handful of alfalfa every 2 hours. And I was like, in what world do I have time to do that? So I had to find a facility, but it was very difficult. And you guys offer just more than that too. Like for those sports medicine injuries, I'm looking at your website at foxhallequine.com. And one of these, I have a question about. So you've got the AquaTread, you've got laser therapy, but what is salt room therapy? I'd never heard of that.
Yeah. So halotherapy was kind of adapted from human medicine. So human medicine and kind of from human spa treatments, you know, there are a lot of, they call them salt caves, and they're all over now. And what was happening was a lot of people, chronic allergies, upper respiratory infections all the time during the winter, during the summer, you know, difficulty clearing infections, bronchitis, pneumonia, things like that.
Well, I got to jump in here quick. So I've been to one of those ice or those salt spa things. And all I can picture now in my head, Dr. Smith, is the horses, you know, reclining on one of those salt chairs.
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely.
And that's what happens in yours. They're just laying there with the martini in one hand.
They would love it. They would love it. I'm sure they would. So basically, a large group of both veterinary medical, you know, veterinary medical vets and you know, human medicine doctors all got together and said, listen, why does this work in humans? And can we adapt this to work in horses? And so you started to see people trying to, you know, go to the racetracks and using these nebulizers and, you know, kind of trying to mimic, you know, salinic air. And I would say, you know, the masks never really fit that well and the horses are kind of moving around. So it kind of birthed the idea of, why don't we put them in a room? Why don't we kind of close it up as much as we can, have a ventilation system that moves the salt through the room and put them in there. And as they passively breathe the salty air, the salt lines the lungs. It lines the trachea. It even lines the sinuses and the turbinates. And it really helps to break down mucus. It helps to eliminate viruses and bacteria and even funguses. Because the whole thing about it is that nothing can live or grow on a grain of salt.
I didn't know that. Is that why it never goes bad in your cupboard?
That is probably a very valid reason why it never goes bad. In fact, I probably have salt from 10 years ago.
I know, it just never turns green like everything else in your cupboard, right? So,
but nothing can grow on a grain of salt. So I think that, you know, when you have the salt lining, and salt is the oldest anti-inflammatory that we have. I mean, if you go back in history, even now today, the wild horses, you know, these packs that roam the plains, and even the salt flats, when they're injured, you will see the pack go to these salt pools and these salt flats and stand in the salt. And, you know, I don't know if it's evolution or, you know, but they know that if they stand in the salt, their leg feels better or their foot feels better. So salt is the oldest anti-inflammatory that we have.
And does it work? Have you seen it work?
You know, so I was a naysayer when I first heard about it. I said, there's no way this works. You know, I have chronic allergies, as I'm sure so does, you know, 80% of the population. So one opened up at Fair Hill Training Center up in Fair Hill, Maryland. And we were kind of up there, you know, servicing some of the barns up there. So the gentleman saying up there, his name's Bruce Jackson. I went to Bruce and I said, hey, let me jump in your salt room. I just want to see what it feels like. And he said, you know, absolutely, like, go for it. So it was one of those days. It was kind of cold and, you know, very congested. Allergies were kind of playing a little bit of a component too. And I got in there. I had to leave after 20 minutes because my sinuses were draining so well that I almost got nervous that maybe I had overdone.
You'd hurt something.
Stepped out of the salt room. I got into my car. I must have run through, you know, four packs of tissues in
That's
the car.
Amazing.
And when I see the horses after they come out, because we've actually done a lot of, you know, we've done some, you know, research in terms of we've scoped horses before they go in and when they come out, and the results are dramatic. I mean, the results are dramatic, how the airways open up, the sinuses open up, there's no more inflammation or reddening of the mucosa. And I mean, it really works. I mean, and you even see the horses hours later in their stall draining, you know, you know, old mucus from their sinuses, and it really works. And then the secondary benefit to salt is that it has especially for you know, kind of for mammals that have, you know, are fully coated in hair, it actually kind of has the same principle. So you have horses that also may be, you know, they have allergies and they're manifesting with upper respiratory issues, but also they're manifesting with, you know, itching their skin, their mm-hmm. back, their legs, their neck.
My pony's
their head.
That way. My Hackney pony's
exactly.
That way.
Yeah. I mean, you know, horses that literally go out in the field and people go, oh my God, he throws himself against the fence board and, you know, and just, you know, itches his whole body. Well, the secondary property to kind of the salt treatment is that it takes that allergy burden down. So these horses also get topical relief from allergy issues. And, you know, I mean, I'm sure everybody's heard of scratches and things like that. It also helps with those type of topical fungus issues in kind of a secondary nature.
This is fascinating. We've never talked about this in the 15 years we've done this show. So I think this is just fascinating stuff. There's other things that we're running out of time. There's other things we'll have to have you back because I really want to talk to you about. They had mentioned that you do something, standing surgeries for kissing spine. Is that true?
Yeah. So there's a lot of veterinarians, a lot of surgeons, and just veterinarians in general. We know that the most crucial time for a horse is when they recover from anesthesia.
Right.
Also during anesthesia, there's also risk, but the most crucial time, everybody's like, oh my God, you know, when they stand up, sometimes they thrash, sometimes they fall because they're naturally, you know, flight animals. So they wake up from anesthesia. They have no idea what's going on. And some of them, you know, want to run around the padded room and slam themselves into the wall. And so a lot of surgeons kind of got together and said, listen, we should try and do a lot of our surgery standing. Let's try and improve the methodology. Let's try and improve the practices, the techniques that we use to be able to do some of these surgeries standing. Now, I don't want anybody to think that, you know, all surgeries are going to be standing. There are definitely surgeries that are going to have to be done down just for, you know, because of time or, you know, pain, you know, different things. Some of those surgeries will have to be
or logistics,
under anesthesia.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
But one surgery that's kind of started to really take off standing is kissing spine surgery. And, you know, when you have a horse that's laid down, excuse me, on their side, the access to what you need access to, you know, decreases, it diminishes a little bit. The other problem with it is you're fixing a weighted problem in an unweighted situation.
I was just going to say we're in the weight in the wrong place.
Right.
Yeah.
So when they're standing, we see how the back, we see how the bones are, you know, functioning amongst themselves. When they're down, we can't do that. So you have less risk of anesthesia. You have less risk of post-anesthesia or post-surgical complications. And the access to what you need to be looking at is 50% greater, right? So when you're with a down horse, you obviously can't get to the downside. Now, you know, some tables have hydraulic lifts and so on and so forth. And there's probably some surgeons out there that, you know, would say, you know, that's wrong and so on and so forth. But from our point of view and from the, you know, a horse owner's point of view is that these surgeries can be done safer and with less complications than their counterpart when they're done down.
So, Dr. Smith, are they supported anyhow? Are they held up? Or do you put them under, or is it like a local or a spinal?
So we locally block the area. We put them in kind of a twilight, okay?
Yep.
So it allows the horse to naturally use their locking mechanisms and all of their legs to kind of be asleep, but also not fall down. So it engages their locking mechanisms, but we also do a epidural. Sorry, we also do an epidural block, but we also apply epidural analgesic. Like when a woman is ready to give birth and you know she gets her epidural, it's exactly the same thing in horses. So we give them an epidural to help one with post-op, you know, pain management, but also intraoperative pain management and kind of, you know, anesthesia of that area.
Now, this is all fascinating stuff. We are running out of time, but sure. I've learned two new things today, the salt and this. It's Foxhall Equine is where you can be found, foxhallequine.com. And you're right there in pretty horse country in Maryland. So if you're in that area and you need some help, get a hold of Dr. Smith and his colleagues over at Foxhall Equine. Thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. Thanks so much.
Non-GMO whole food nutrition is the basis of the entire Daily Dose Equine program. We never forget that natural is better and simplicity is key. Daily Dose Equine uses non-GMO whole food ingredients like alfalfa, timothy, peas, sunflower seeds, and flax. Daily Dose Equine doesn't use fillers, bulking agents, or leftovers from other industries, so you can feed less yet improve body condition and energy. And our feeds are free from chemical residues and glyphosate. Find the perfect formulation for your horse at DailyDoseEquine.com. Select Daily Dose Equine formulations are available nationwide through Chewy.com and TractorSupply.com.
Recharge your training program with Equestrian Plus. Equestrian Plus brings together top riders, trainers, and professionals onto one video platform. Watch over 5,000 how-to training videos, clinic and event footage, exclusive training sessions, and more featuring top experts including five-time dressage Olympian Stefan Peters, five-time Olympic show jumper Ann Krasinski, Olympic eventer and silver medalist William Fox Pitt, and more. Join Equestrian Plus now and use promo code HRN15 for 15% off your first month. Visit EquestrianPlusPLUS.com to subscribe.
Time to learn why some days you're embarrassed to be part of the human race in Jamie's Weird News.
Yeah, this first story goes right along with that. I mean, seriously. But hey, I would just like to thank everybody for submitting weird news stories. If you're ever actually reading the news and you're like, oh, that is super weird, email it to me, weirdnews@horseradionetwork.com. Just like Delia, Shelley, Laureen, Debbie, Sarah, and Julie all did this week. And the first one is we're going to go to Greece. Thessalonia, Greece. Because there's a sweet, sweet 28-year-old man. Bless his heart. You know it's going to be good if I say bless his heart. So he's in jail. Actually, he was put on probation. He was like bailed out, I guess, but he is 28 years old and he just can't explain why he does it. He just can't explain it. But this is not the first time he's been caught. In fact, this is the fourth time that he's been caught and he never displays any hostile behavior. He's more just embarrassed. I don't know why I do this. I just can't help it. What does he do? Glenn, do you want to take a guess what he does?
No idea. Runs around naked. That would be Florida thing though.
Yeah, that's Florida. Yeah. In Greece, apparently, the thing is, when you go home, you don't take your shoes into the house, okay? You leave your shoes out on the patio. Yep. And this is the fourth time that this man, who has remained nameless in this article, has been caught on somebody's porch sniffing their shoes.
One of those.
He goes around and he's like, I can't explain it. I can't help it. I just have to smell people's shoes. And so he was put on probation and they're going a step further because now they're ordering him, not just encouraging, ordering him to go to therapy.
Yeah, that's probably a wise plan. I can think of some pleasant things like flowers I'd like to smell, but
shoes, but the dirty shoes. Yeah. Well, you know, airlines have been in the news quite a bit, and a lot of the airlines in America. Well, this one we're going to go to Rome. Because there was a flight in Rome, Ryanair, and they were heading to Germany. And the pilots were like, did you hear that? I don't know. Wait, oh, I hear that. What do you hear? I hear that too. Okay. So they like pull over and they're like, there's a weird noise coming from our engine or in the front, in the electrical bay of the airplane. There's a weird noise. So they pull over and they deplane and they have all the crews come out and they pull apart the front of the airplane. What is in the controls of the airplane?
A snake.
A cat. There's a cat. Stuck inside the airplane. It has climbed into the electrical bay of the airplane. And they're like, it's a Boeing 737. We got to get this thing in the air. Let's go get the cat. Well, if you were to climb into an electrical bay and try to grab a cat, what do you think the cat's going to do?
It would hide from you and it's many nooks and crannies further. In the electrical bay.
Exactly. So they end up having to pull the plane over, park it in a different part of the thing, and set up cameras because they couldn't catch it. Because every time they try to catch it, it just went further back in because it's a damn cat. And cats are so fun. Yeah, no, here, kitty, kitty, none of that. What did they do? They just waited. 2 days later, leaving all the doors on the airplane open, the cat finally made its way out.
This cat cost them a fortune.
Can you imagine? They said the door was left open and the cat finally exited the plane on its own after about 2 days on the tarmac. The plane finally departed for Germany on Monday. Could you imagine being on the plane like, sorry, guys, we're not going to be able to take off because there's a cat in the front of the airplane. How did it get there? Did it like escape from underneath and some like cage? Because we've had those before where the animals get out. No, no news on where the cat came from. It was just in the electrical bay.
It's the next movie, Cats on a Plane.
Yeah. So scary. You know, it's funny you said Cats on a Plane, because that is from the movie, what?
Oh, Snakes on a Plane.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's go to Australia. Oh. So this guy in Australia was walking out to his, they have like one of those pits where they put all their food and stuff and they try to like turn it. What is that called? Why? I'm sorry, the medication is just.
Yeah, I know. Oh, it's right there. Now I can't think of it.
I know, right?
Either.
Why can't you think of it right now?
I'll think of it. We have one. Okay. What the hell's it called? All right, keep going. I got okay.
You're going to have to Google it. Okay. One of those pits where you put your food and turn it. Just words are not working today. And it's probably in this news article somewhere. I don't know. So anyway, they've got this pit of food and the guy walks out to dump some more of his food.
Compost.
Why was that so hard?
I don't know.
He walks out to dump some more food into his compost pile. I know every one of you is yelling this, by the way. I can hear it in my head.
Thinking, one of those two idiots don't even know what a compost pile is.
Again, you know, the pain pills don't make me too stupid, but the muscle relaxers,
I have no
good
excuse,
Lord,
though,
I need 3 days. So he goes out to his compost pile to dump some compost. And he's like, oh, God. Oh, mate, there's something really terrible. He said, I was shivering and shaking when I saw them. It was 6 red-bellied black snakes. Now, I have since Googled red-bellied black snakes, and they are extremely poisonous, of course. Geez. So he's like, we're going to have to call a reptile. We're going to have to call Crocodile Dundee or Steve Irwin and his family. Like, get all of them out there to wrangle this group of snakes. And the wrangler's like, hey, if they're like all together and congregating together, mate, that's what they do when they're about to give birth. And he's like, oh, God. Okay.
There's gonna be 100
more. Get out of here immediately. So he catches, he finds the 5 adult snakes, 4 of which are carrying eggs.
Oh my God.
Soon he discovered piles of dozens of babies. He said he was just uncovering baby after baby. It was amazing. I couldn't believe it. He said there was 40 snakes.
I'm moving.
And then there was 70. Staying. And then there was 90. All in all, they captured 102 snakes.
Would you stay there?
I'm burning all of it down, friend. 5 adults and 97 newborns. And this is not like a giant property. This is like right behind his house. Like he's
I'm
like lives in the neighborhood.
Filling in the compost pit.
Bye.
Oh my God. Now I have. Oh no, I'll never stop thinking about that all day. Thanks.
You're welcome. Well, I don't usually say who sends which weird news story because, I mean, if it's weird, it's too weird. I don't want you to know where they're doing their news at, getting their news. But Debbie sent this one in and she simply titled it, like wrote above it, this is something for you and Glenn to think about next time quote, enjoy your snack packs. We've been getting those snack packs once a month try them, you know, after the show and we do it on video and they're usually really gross. Well, she said that you may want to just make sure you take a look at them because we're at LAX and a plane has come in from Japan. And so the, you know, you have to go through customs and they're like, there's something weird here. There's something weird in this package because you have to claim all your food, you know, when you go into a new country. And so agricultural specialist and the U.S. Customs and Border Protection, they take this bag and it's a bunch of food from Japan. And they're like, we need to look at this snack food. And do you know what was in the wrapped snack bags?
After the last story, I really don't want to know.
They're valued up to $1,480. That's right. 37 live beetles inside of Japanese snacks, potato chips, and chocolate during the shipment. So, yeah.
Were they bringing the beetles in intentionally, or did the beetles get in after?
They were bringing the beetles in intentionally. They stuffed them in snack bags, Glenn, and then sealed the snack bags trying to smuggle.
Do you know how many beetles we have in Florida, and you're sneaking them in from Japan?
I mean, were they going to go to the food that you were going to sneak them into? What is going on? I don't know, but it sounds terrible. And I would like everybody to know that, fortunately or sadly, Glenn canceled it because the snacks were so gross.
I couldn't do it anymore. After this last one, it was traumatizing. So that chip we ate that tastes like
egg flavored potato chips.
I still have that taste in my mouth.
Okay, you guys, we had to try. We try snacks from other countries, and I thought this one would be good. I think it was from Greece, wasn't it? I don't remember. And we take, it's egg flavored potato chips. And you know how when you're like driving somewhere and you're like, that smells like sulfur. Like, I smell sulfur. That's what these tasted like.
Oh, Anna was there. We all three tried them, and all of us spit it out at the same time.
I will also let you know that I every time we have the snack packs, I take all of them downstairs for Chad and Lucas to also try.
Yeah. Don't tell me Lucas liked the egg chips.
God, no. Nobody liked them. If Lucas didn't like them, nobody gonna like them. But it was really, really funny because Anna was like, Chad, you should try this chip. You will like it. Oh, yeah. It's fantastic. He's like, puts his mouth under the kitchen sink running water. That was awful. Should have videoed that.
That was the worst thing we've had in all these 100 snacks we've tried. That was awful.
Sulfur potato chips.
I mean, we've spit out a couple, but nothing like that. We're immediately.
Yeah. That was gross. Well, imagine beetles and your potato chips. I mean, what could possibly go wrong?
Do you have any more? Is that it?
That's it.
All right. I have one more to end the show. Do you know how we talked about beet juice that it goes in tires, tractor tires? They put beet juice in tractor tires and also on the highways in Texas.
Well, it's all over the roads here because I was just driving out yesterday for this ice storm preparation. They were spraying beet juice. No, it's not really red. It just looks wet.
Well, apparently that's not the only food they put on roads for ice and snow.
Really?
Yeah. Apparently the Greene County Highway Department, I think in Wisconsin, uses cheese brine to help keep the roads safe. When combined with salt, this dairy byproduct improves traction, melts snow and ice faster, and helps salt stick to the pavement better. It was a study done by UW-Madison's TOPS lab found the liquid brine not only speeds up road clearing, but also saves money and reduces salt buildup on waterways.
Well, now you know. See, every time we do this show, we learn something. I mean, my God.
I learned a lot about salt today.
So helpful. I know. I'm proud of you, buddy.
Well, and you know, this is a waste byproduct of making cheese, so it's perfect. Yeah, which spread it on the road.
I just am trying to imagine the smell after about 4 days if it warms up.
Usually when you're spreading this, it's cold. But you're right. If it warms up, it's a problem. Thanks for joining us. We really appreciate it. We have the NRHA tomorrow and then Really Bad Ads on Friday. So join us then. And auditors, hang on. You're going to get to hear Taylor Lambert today. She's our auditor highlight. And she's going to catch us up on her health situation, which was very, very scary. And we'll find out how she's doing. That'll be in the post show. Thanks, everybody.
All right, everybody. Have a good one. Spay, neuter, and geld. Results to the horse color study on Friday.
All right. Find out which colors people hate the
most.
I
called in the big guns. Mary Kitzmiller weighed in. No. That's going to be good.
She's trained a lot of horses.